You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
On a Friday afternoon, welcome in to the Gym Class. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash here this afternoon. Mark Dukes joining me in just a few moments. 319-366-1600. Talk or text line open for you all afternoon long. Just wrapped up my little corner of the sports world on Spencer on Sports, and they didn't even tell me to leave the studio today. I'm same spot, same place I was, ready to talk to you about the world of sports here this afternoon. The show presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boast about your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Proud sponsors of the Gym Class program here on KGYM. And 319-366-1600. Thanks for listening on 1600 AM. 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. On the stream at KGYMRadio.com, on the free-to-download app for your smartphone, also on your smart speaker, and in podcast form as well. We salute you for tuning in, the podcast listeners, either before or after the show. We appreciate you catching up at KGYMRadio.com. Lots to get to on today's show. We have Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining us in about 25 minutes. Talk some Colonels baseball. Other things going on around the sports world, of course, the Colonels and River Bandits will be changing identities, at least for a day, coming up on Tuesday, playing in the highly anticipated minor league Field of Dreams game. We'll get Jeff's thoughts on that. The season so far for the Colonels, a different look to the team and more, plus some more on the local sports scene with Jeff coming up just after 3:30 this afternoon. We also got a chance to win a pair of tickets to check out the George Halas and the Chicago Bears exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids. We'll give you that chance to win coming up later on in the show as well. As welcome Mark Dukes into the program. Mark, happy Friday. How are you?
You as well, Spencer. Great to be with you again. Good afternoon, everyone. And I have to tell you, not because you're a colleague, but as a listener, I really enjoy your show, particularly the Collector's Corner.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's a great segment. Are you a big collector?
I am. I still am. I was just talking about 7.25. I got to find the article. $7.25 million sale for the Hannes Wagner tobacco card. I was mentioning I've been a collector pretty seriously since I was probably like 10, 11 years old. The point I was making was, you know, $7.25 million for essentially a piece of cardboard it's a lot of money for a baseball card. And I said, the longer you stick in this hobby, the less it makes sense. And I understand it's one of the most iconic cards in the card industry, with the Hannes Wagner and the Mickey Mantle 52s, but it's a lot of money. When you see that price tag on a piece of cardboard, you have to pause for a second, don't you?
You do. It's a huge amount of money, and the market has really fluctuated over the years. I was a collector when I was young. Most of my cards, and I still have a ton, are from the 70s Top Series and whatnot. I don't know if you recall, Wheaties used to have baseball cards on the back of their boxes.
Did they? Okay.
And you'd cut them out, and I think I still have a Yogi Berra or something like that. I have a second year Mantle. What's that worth?
Second year, probably 50, what, 53?
50 bucks.
Yeah. Well, you never know. There are some non-graded, non-like good condition Mantles that are over $1,000 still. So it's kind of crazy how something could be so old and so in not great condition and still be worth a small fortune. But I've been a collector on and off. I've like most of us did when we were in college. I don't know about you, Mark, but I was in college. I kind of took a step back because, I got to save my money. I got to be a poor college student. But You know, still found a way to acquire some cards back then. Sold a bunch that I wish I hadn't now that I'm, you know, in the professional world and, you know, have a little bit of time to devote to that hobby. I see the prices of, like, Aaron Rodgers rookie cards. And now you disagree with Rodgers because you're a Bear fan. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers rookie cards, I had a bunch and I sold them because I needed cash in college. And I... Now looking at those cards now on places like eBay or going to shows and stuff and seeing them in person for, like, you know, triple the price that I sold them for. A, I wish I would have held on a little bit longer before I sold them. And B, I wish I hadn't sold them because they are now worth some money, to say the least. So
this wasn't in our show prep, but cards mean different things to different people. I know a guy a little bit older than me who has collected every single Jay Novacek card.
Really?
Because he's related to him.
Oh, okay, sure.
And he also has all but one, and I don't know which one he doesn't have, all but one Nolan Ryan card.
Wow.
It's just a niche for him. I don't know if you had a niche. I mean, I, of course, liked all the Twins cards and remembering some guys. type of thing, but it's interesting. I have an O.J. Simpson rookie card, which is worth nothing these days.
You never know. I mean, you know, there are people who I saw someone on a forum I'm in that started a collection. I don't know if it was a joke, but players that have done bad things. And there, O.J. Simpson was in there. Aaron Hernandez was in there. Ray Carruth was in there.
Ah,
it was kind of an interesting post I saw. I think it was on Facebook. That was about a year ago, but it's still alive and well. There's people that out there that are probably like, wait, they still make baseball cards, and I don't blame you because until the pandemic, it was a very, very specifically targeted hobby. You had the people who were in it, you know. Maybe their kids, their grandkids got into it, but when people were staying safe at home during 2020 because of the pandemic, it blew up just like all the other old school hobbies. But I appreciate the words. I try to work in the collector's corner when I can onto the program.
Yeah, it's fun and interesting. And the one thing, and we can leave this subject, but the one thing I've been meaning to do for many years is organize my cards better. Mm. Are you a good organizer?
Yes and no. I have a bunch of, they make big white, like, not shoe boxes, but big storage boxes for them.
I have some.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a bunch of those. They're somewhat organized, but I have a card, it's not a card table, quote unquote, but it's a table in our spare bedroom that is full of piles of stuff I need to go through. So I should probably get on that.
I'm sure your wife loves that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, like you said, not in our show prep, but if you want to chime in on cards, you're always welcome to 319-366-1600. There is some news to get to in the sports world, Mark. Again, we got Jeff Johnson joining us coming up in about 15 minutes here or a little bit more. But some bad news for the Iowa women's basketball team, Mark. Kylie Fierbach, a rotational player in the Iowa system for Coach Lisa Bluter and her team. Bad news coming out this morning, tearing her ACL in her right knee during a team workout this week, and she's going to miss the season here, this upcoming season. Not good news, to say the very least, for Coach Bluter and team.
No, it's tough news. She was going to be a big piece of this team. And transfer from Iowa State, as you know, and good solid player out of Eastern Iowa. And it's a tough blow. These things happen. Just ask UConn and Paige Beckers.
Right, and that was one of the points brought up with Paige Beckers, and you know, everybody kind of lamenting the loss of an opportunity for Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers in that tournament coming up around Thanksgiving time. But you hate to see it happen right in your own backyard, especially with someone who is expected to have a nice season for her junior season. I mentioned this during my show, but just looking at her numbers, not you know, eye popping off the charts, you know, Caitlin Clark type numbers, but solid. 3.4 points a game, 42% from the floor, about 15 minutes or so average per game. So a key piece off the bench and really, you know, hurts the depth of this Iowa team going forward.
Yeah, any injury does, of course. And again, I thought she was going to be a very solid piece for this team. Now it's next woman in, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and I was reading up kind of, you know, some of the new faces coming in, and one of those key players, one of those next women up, like you mentioned, that could step in is this Molly Davis transfer from Central Michigan. Actually played against Iowa in the NCAA tournament at Carver last season with the women's side of things, but Molly Davis coming in. She was actually interviewed by the media earlier this week at a media availability. Still learning the system, learning the ropes of how things go in Iowa City. But like you said, next woman in. There's still plenty of time before the season. We're sitting here talking on August 5th about this. So, you know, we're not sitting here, you know, November 20th and when, you know, a couple nights before the season, a couple sleeps before the season. So some time to figure things out, some time to improve for some of the people that will be stepping in, but not the blow you want to see when it comes down to it, preparing for what the Hawkeyes are hoping to be another successful year, not just in the Big Ten, but hopefully making a national push after the disappointing way that that last year ended.
Yeah, you hit it on the head, Spencer, in terms of it hurting depth. This is going to be a very solid Iowa women's basketball team. Almost the entire team comes back, led by Caitlin Clark, of course. It's a formidable schedule. You need bodies to get through that. I still think Iowa is equipped to have an excellent season.
Lisa Bluter interviewed by the Des Moines Register talking about Molly Davis from Central Michigan. Like I mentioned, she finished, Davis did, with 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 steals in a game in the 2021 NCAA tournament against Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I believe I mistakenly said it was this past season, but it was in 2021. Lisa Bluter saying that they saw how well Davis did in that game against the team. Bluter saying, quote, "We love having that depth at the point guard position. We didn't have it last year. That was the one area we didn't have, and we were able to accomplish that with the transfer portal and bringing in Molly Davis." Davis coming in from Central Michigan, 3-time All-MAC selection, ranking first in Central Michigan history, 17.7 points per game scoring average, 8th all-time in career three-pointers. So she's done it at a high level. Obviously, going from Central Michigan in the Mid-American Conference of Women's Basketball to the Big Ten, a little bit different, but there is that learning curve. But no doubt that Coach Bluter and the staff will do their best to get her ready for action right away.
Yeah, that's an impressive resume, Spencer. And I think Molly will be a big contributor to this team. You know, as you mentioned, it was in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, has competed against some of the top teams. So I have every confidence that Molly will, adapt and contribute right away.
Again, Kylie Fierbach tearing her ACL during a team workout this week, going to miss the entire 2022-23 season. 319-366-1600. We actually have a phone call. Is that Sid from Albernettes? And going back to baseball cards, Mark.
Yes.
Sid, what's up?
I am. I first of all, want to tell Mr. Dukes that I've been a Twins fan since 1959, and that's when they were the Washington Senators. So we go back a long way. Quick question for you. I have got two sets of Topps baseball cards that are they came out of the package, but I never touched them.
Okay.
1987 and 1991. And I have absolutely no idea of what those things are worth. And I would be curious as to finding out where I could find out what they were worth.
A quick check. And Sid, thanks for the call. I'll drop you off the line. You can listen to the answer here. But when it comes down to it, and I hate to be the heartbreaker here, but anything from the late 80s to the mid 90s, not going to be all that valuable as a full set. The best place to look, honestly, is eBay. There's a way you can look at sold listings on eBay, and that would be my advice for anybody wondering if they have cards in their attic, cards in their basement, cards in their junk drawer, whatever it may be, Mark, that would want to know what they're worth. I would suggest checking eBay and just kind of getting a gauge on what they're worth. But honestly, late 80s to early to mid 90s is consider the junk wax, quote unquote, era, where cards were mass printed. You could find them anywhere, and they made a lot of them. So something you think might be worth millions is probably not all that valuable. Hate to see it. Hate to say it, too, but just the reality of the situation that I think a lot of us have experienced at one time or another.
Sid, being a Twins fan, I don't think there's any coincidence the reason he bought the 87 and 91 versions.
Right.
Perhaps, and Sid's the only guy listening right now probably remembers Ted Ulander. Right, Sid? Okay. Remembering some guys, Spencer.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes. That's all right. Always down for that.
What about the open version versus the unopened version?
Be honest, not sure it makes much difference. Sealed, okay. I've learned sealed is always better than open, because if you're trying to sell the full set and people see it opened, they're going to be concerned that maybe one of the cards that they're buying it for, like 87, for example, if you're targeting the Barry Bonds rookie card that's in there, it's not, you know, a card worth a fortune. But if you have the 87 top set and you're targeting one of the key rookies from that set and people see it's not sealed, then they might be concerned that maybe you took the card out of there. Not, you know, saying that that's exactly what happened, but I've always believed sealed is better than unsealed. But that's just my humble opinion. But yeah, 80s, late 80s to early to mid 90s. Not the most valuable thing, but eBay is your friend. That is what I've learned in my years of pricing stuff. But
I would agree.
Appreciate that call, Sid. 319-366-1600. Gym class program here with you this afternoon. Cyclone Tim chiming in on the text line. What a card is worth and when someone buys a card for are two different things.
Ah.
That is very true. Sometimes the price can be jacked up. I talked about the National Sports Collectors Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey last week, and you saw a lot of inflated prices on even some rather common things, just because it was the national show. So that is just the reality of the situation.
Is the Mantle auction closed?
Still
going on.
The one that was at the National?
Yeah.
The 9.5. I think it closed over the National weekend. It may still be open. I don't have that directly in front of me, but I can report.
That was supposed to exceed the Wagner card, right?
Yes, because a 9.5, especially when you're talking vintage like Mantle and even Hannes Wagner, a 9.5 is as good as you can get, and that is unheard of in the card world with something that old. So there are one grade cards, so on the low end of the scale that go for a couple thousand. In fact, maybe northwards of 10, depending on 10,000, depending on the seller. So yeah, it's kind of crazy how that works. But yeah, 319-366-1600. Jeff Johnson joining us coming up here in about 7 minutes or so. Get you an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update coming up in just a few minutes. Mark, we had the Hall of Fame game last night. Did you watch? Did you make it through the whole thing? I guess that's the better question.
I barely watched it, Spencer. I was watching my Twins blow a sunny gray nice outing and losing to the Blue Jays handily. That's a good team, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen them. Jays are a really good team, but what I did see was the Raiders look pretty good. Former Iowa running back Mekhi Sargent had a pretty good game for Jacksonville. led the team 5 carries, 22 yards, and had 5 catches for 37 yards. But he's behind James Robinson and Travis Etienne and Snoop Connor on that depth chart. So, you know, Sargent played with the Titans and the Rams, but we'll see if he can make this team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, you can't glean a whole lot from the game last night. I mean, you know, the Jags had their third and fourth string quarterbacks in there. The Raiders had, what, 2 through 4 in their depth chart in there, just getting different guys some looks. And that's, you know, what the preseason always is. So not much you could take away from the game. You know, Jags did not look very good, but they were without some of their key players. There's a huge list Adam Schefter tweeted out that before the game last night of all the different players that weren't playing, including Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, and C.J. Beathard didn't play, Brandon Scherff didn't play, a lot of their key receivers and backs didn't play last night. So not much you could take away, but the Raiders for one night, you know, they started the season, at least the preseason, on a positive note, 27-11. The win last night over Jacksonville. And, of course, Mark, the Hall of Fame class being inducted. I've talked about this a little bit on my show, but Leroy Butler, probably my favorite of them, but got a number of deserving inductees for 2022.
No doubt about it. Dick Vermeil and the first official, Art McNally, going in. I think that's cool. He's an instrumental in, you know, various officiating things that have come up over the years. He was a good on-field official as well. And, you know, Scott and I talked yesterday about, hi, Scott. We'll talk to you next week. When we talked about Vermeil crying during his speech, and that's fine. No big deal, but it will happen. Very emotional guy, very good coach, not only with the Rams, but Philadelphia. He's a Philly guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll tune into some of that this weekend.
Leroy Butler is for the Green Bay Packers. He's the first inductee. So I don't have to wait long for him to get his time at the podium. But I was talking about last hour on my show. I just think it's so cool how they tell these guys that they've gotten into the Hall of Fame, the knock on the door, and, you know, usually it's somebody that means a lot to them. And I was mentioning there's a video out there of Leroy Butler getting the news that he's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and it's Charles Woodson standing out at his on his front porch in like 10 degree weather, and Leroy was actually on ESPN Radio earlier this morning and told I think it was Freddie Coleman, said, you know, I look out my window, it's 10 degrees out, and there's Charles Woodson standing out there. I'm like, what you doing out here, Chuck? So it's a funny story, you know, to like, what's Charles Woodson doing at my house? And Leroy was expecting a guy like Brett Favre out there. Then he would have known it was the Hall of Fame, but he thought Charles Woodson was just stopping by for a visit. And it turns out he's telling him that he reached his ultimate goal in getting into the Hall of Fame. So kind of a cool moment there, but I've saw some, you know, people when the class first came out, like, oh, you know, this is a weak class, you know, Richard Seymour, is he really a Hall of Famer? But, you know, it doesn't always have to be the biggest name guys who make significant contributions to the pro game. And sometimes it's okay, right, to have not so brightest stars enter the game, and all these players and coaches and even the first official, all deserving in their own right.
They all have great stories, and mentioned it yesterday that one of my favorite ones is Sam Mills going into this class. Sam died in 2015, but an undrafted Division III guy.
Mm, yeah.
And you can relate to this from Oshkosh, right?
Yes, yep.
And I can relate to it being from Co. Undrafted, free agent out of Division III. Ends up in the Hall of Fame. You don't hear about that just every other day.
No, you don't. It's crazy how, you know, these, and it just shows, you know, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different path. And, you know, sometimes, It's not always the first ballot guys that get in. It's sometimes it's the guys that have worked their way, worked all their lives to get there. And yeah, Sam Mills, what just googling him. Montclair State. There's a D3 school if I've ever heard one. Montclair State getting his due in Canton. So pretty awesome. That'll be this weekend as well. We've got Jeff Johnson coming up here momentarily. Got to get to a break, but before we get to that break, let's get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard with Mark.
Scary situation for NASCAR driver Kyle Busch and his family yesterday as they were at the Mall of America when the gunshots erupted. Busch and his family escaped safely. On the Major League scoreboard right now, the Cubs in action against the Marlins, I believe still scoreless in the sixth inning. Everything else under the lights tonight. The Wyndham Championships being held in North Carolina. Zach Johnson trying to make a push to make the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's doing okay, but is going to need a big weekend. He's 200 par for the day, 500 par for the first two rounds through 13 holes. He is currently tied for 16th. We'll see if Zach can make a push yet today and through the weekend.
Brewers and Reds up at American Family Field. I know you're down on the Twins, at least after last night's game, losing to Toronto. But you think I'm down on my team, the Brewers losing, getting swept by the Pirates, trading away Josh Hader, DFAing one of the guys you get in that trade? Not a good week to be a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Is it any coincidence the Brewers haven't won since getting rid of Hader?
There's got to be some sort of connection there, and I really don't want to explore it any further. hope they win tonight against the Cincinnati Reds up in Milwaukee, a weekend series.
Hopefully Rogers can help you out of the pen.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. They did not use him the last couple days because of his travel and stuff like that to get to Pittsburgh. So it is what it is. But we'll see how things go this weekend. More baseball talk coming up with Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Talk a little minor league baseball. Colonels getting set for the Field of Dreams game next week against Quad Cities. Talk about that and more with Jeff coming up in just a bit. It's the Gym Class on KGYM presented by DePaco Community Credit Union.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we are going to have some warmer and more humid conditions as the afternoon goes on with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. Then later tonight, we'll have some passing clouds and temperatures just drop down into the upper 60s. Tomorrow is going to be hot and humid. Temperatures will be climbing into the low 90s. A heat advisory goes into effect in the afternoon as heat index values could be near and above 100 degrees for several hours. We'll then have storms arriving in the evening. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
What's your idea of fun? Plummeting down a roller coaster or sampling the new foods on a stick? Catching a concert or watching livestock shows? Cheering on a demolition derby driver or tossing a rubber chicken? ATV races and truck and tractor pulls? Whatever it is, you'll find your fun at the Iowa State Fair. 11 days of smiles, thrills, music, and yums. And now through August 10th is your chance to save $5 on all that fun with an advanced admission ticket. You'll find them at the Iowa State Fair website or ticket office. You can also pick them up at any participating Iowa Hy-Vees, Hy-Vee drugstores, and Fast and Fresh stores, and Iowa Fairways. Find your savings today. Nothing compares to the fun you'll find at the Iowa State Fair, August 11th through 21st. Start planning your fun today at iowastatefair.org.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-ay-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Exceed your expectations of what makes a great paint or stain with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains from Menards. Now all 11% off with some of the most advanced technology like enhanced UV resistances, dirt shedding protection, and true one-coat coverage paint and primer in one. Finding your perfect paint or stain is easy. Get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Good through August 7th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
It's the summer of one love at Raising Cane's, and competitive eater Joey Chestnut has just taken his love to another level. In honor of National Chicken Finger Day, Joey set the record for most Raising Cane's chicken fingers eaten in 5 minutes. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you're ready for this. Are you ready? Joey ate a whopping 44 hand-battered cooked order chicken fingers from your crew at Raising Cane's. Congrats, Joey. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And we're back at 3:35 as the gym class rolls on here for you on a Friday afternoon, August 5th of 2022, 319-366-1600. Jeff Johnson will be joining us momentarily from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll get him connected here in just a moment. Want to remind you, we are giving a chance to win sometime before 4 o'clock, final chance to check out the George Halas exhibit, George Halas and the Chicago Bears at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids. If you want all the details about the exhibits, you can check out our website, kgymradio.com. We'll give you a shot at a pair of passes and some swag to the museum as well coming up sometime before 4 o'clock here on KGYM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up between 4 and 6. They've got one final shot at Alanis Morissette tickets as well. As we welcome Jeff Johnson into the program, covers local sports for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining the gym class with Spencer and Mark here this afternoon. Jeff, good to talk with you again. Colonels in action. It's been the Skycarp taking all three of the series to start so far, hey?
Yeah, just, you know, they've Cedar Rapids has had some injuries, especially pitching wise, and you know, some guys, even a guy that got traded the other night or the other day, and some guys that have moved up to Double A. So it's a little bit of a difficult time for them. They've lost six games in a row at home, which is unusual. So I expect some, you know, reinforcements to kind of come in here, maybe both pitching and position player wise. You know, was told the other day that the first-round draft pick, Brooks Lee, will be here sometime next week, the infielder from Cal Poly. So, yeah, just a down period, but still the second best overall record in the Midwest League, just a game behind Great Lakes. So it's been a good summer out at the ballpark.
It's been a good summer, but this really isn't the same team that came north in April, and a variety of reasons, as you described, JJ. You know, I was thinking earlier today, crazy ideas run through my head. Why have playoffs when the first half champion is not the same team, you know, at the end of the season? I know that's not going to happen, but it often happens in minor league baseball.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, it's just something that it's always kind of been that way, you know, the season, except for last year, I guess it was when it was, there were no halves. It was just teams with the two best records met for the championship. But, for whatever reason, they break it up into halves and, you know, they give the champs of each half, an opportunity to make the playoffs. And yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, more times than not, I bet if you go back and you look at the history of the Midwest League playoffs, you know, the team from the second half, you know, might has won a championship, and that's just the way it is. But it's also a reward too for being the best team, you know, in that first half of the season, you know, kind of before, as you mentioned, all the player moves that inevitably happen. So. What is it, eight straight years as an affiliate of the Twins, and each one has been in the playoff, has provided a playoff team here in Cedar Rapids. So, I mean, That's pretty darn good, and I think every other club in the league would probably be pretty envious of that.
Yeah.
Well, like you mentioned, it's just how minor league baseball works. There's player movement, obviously development. We've talked with Brian Dinkelman before. Development is the name of the game. You want these guys to move up as much as, you know, fans of the team would love to see, Christian Encarnacion Strand stay in Cedar Rapids forever. His goal is to get to the major league club, and just so happens he was part of the trade last week. It was the Tyler Malley trade, if I'm not mistaken. But from your perspective, Jeff, were you surprised to see so many prospects moved as part of those deals, or is that just kind of the name of the game too?
No, I wasn't, and you know, as a Twins fan, Mark and I are Twins fans, as you know. I really didn't have any problem with the moves that were made, or the people that had to be given up to get the players that Minnesota got to help with the Major League Club right now. So I mean, it's just what it is, and it's a sign, I think, that it's a deep farm system, because you know the Twins have a number of prospects that are down injured right now that obviously weren't available to be traded. So it's kind of a sign of the organizational depth that, you know, you got guys that, you know, haven't been hurt, that maybe aren't the highest ranked right now, at least in the minor league system, that you're able to still go out and get some good quality major leaguers in exchange for them. So, you know, it's weird. It was really weird. It's always weird. I'm trying to remember over the years how many times it's happened, but walked into the clubhouse the other day, Tuesday, and first person I bumped into was Cade Povich. he was in there, just happened to, you know, pop his head in to tell, you know, manager Brian Dinkelman and the coaching staff thanks for everything. And so it's kind of an awkward moment for me watching this, quite frankly, but I mean, he was very gracious about it. He agreed to let me interview him real quick just to get his thoughts on being traded. And, you know, he kind of looks at it as an opportunity that, hey, you know, an organization wanted me enough to go out and trade for me. So, I thought it was a very mature approach from a guy that just literally about 1 year into his pro career, because he was drafted, you know, last year out of the University of Nebraska. You find out early, I guess, that this is a business above everything else.
Who among those three or four former Colonels that were traded at the deadline, Jeff, do you think we'll see in the major leagues?
I think you can see, I think you can see Povich being, you know, like a back end of the rotation type starter, left-hander. I think he still has room to add strength and maybe therefore a couple of ticks on velocity on his fastball. Knows how to pitch, just, an advanced college arm. So, yeah, I could see him maybe being a five in a rotation or perhaps a four. Certainly, Encarnacion Strand is kind of burst onto the prospect scene this year with the numbers that he was able to put up offensively. And, he's an interesting case, too. I mean, when he hits the ball, I mean, it's he hits it. You know, it has maybe that different sound to it, as they always say. But there is some plate discipline issues. He's kind of a free swinger at this point in his career, and that's something that I think he'll probably have to improve upon as he goes along. And I don't think he's going to stick at third base. I think he'll be a first baseman or maybe a DH, as he keeps going up the ladder. I do expect him to go up the ladder and be a big leaguer someday. And, you know, Spencer Steer, who played here beginning of last year and the end of 19, was having a real good, you know, another guy with a breakout year. I see him as kind of a utility type guy, in the big leagues. And, Sawyer Gibson Long, we'll have to see. He was traded to Detroit for Michael Fulmer. He pitched here, made like, I think, 10 starts this season before going up to AA, where he's really kind of struggled. So it's yet to be seen, I think, with him, if he's eventually going to be a big leaguer. But, you know, the three previous guys I mentioned, I think they'll all be in the big leagues at some point, and it'll be fun to see how big of a role you know, those guys will play for their new organizations moving forward.
Jeff Johnson joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette here on the Gym Class. Spencer in for Scott. Mark Dukes joining me as well. Speaking of the Colonels, all eyes will be on Dyersville for more reasons than one coming up next week. You got, of course, the Major League game Thursday between the Cubs and the Reds, and then Tuesday, the Colonels and the River Bandits taking on their alternate identities as part of a neat experience for both the clubs to play at the Field of Dreams. I know you reported a day or two ago, Jeff, that it sold out. So great to see that there. What's the vibe around the team for the opportunity to play up in Dyersville next week?
Yeah, you know, I haven't. That's something I'm gonna head out here and kind of talk to a couple of guys as they take batting practice tonight to kind of get their, you know, what they think about all this. You know, Brian Dinkelman, the manager, said he thinks it's there's starting to be a lot of buzz about it in the clubhouse now, and that it's so close. And, you know, talk to GM Scott Wilson. I mean, there's a lot of special things planned for those boys. They're getting a police escort through Dyersville. Their buses are as they head through or head out to the Field of Dreams. So that'll be pretty sweet for them. And then once they get to the field, I think they have like an hour and a half to themselves where they can, you know, just kind of hang out, you know, check out both of the facility they're going to play on, you know, or the cornfields that, you know, encompass around the field. And they can go over to the actual movie site, which is adjacent to the field they'll be playing on. So that'll be pretty cool for them, I think, to just kind of check out everything. And I mean, they're being treated like big leaguers. I mean, they've same, you know, temporary tent like clubhouse that the big league teams played in last year and will play in Thursday, you know, as well. It's on national TV, MLB Network, and you know, they're all going to do, I guess, individual promos kind of introducing themselves, you know, which to the TV audience, which will be pretty cool. And we'll have to see what other things that Major League Baseball has planned for them. But, you know, at least for a night, they get to be treated kind of like big leaguers. And I'm sure it'll be a lifetime of memories for all of them.
I think you may find, Jeff, that a few of these guys have never seen the movie or just recently have.
I would totally agree, Mark. And that's something that, you know, I want to kind of ask around. You know, have you guys actually seen this movie? Because it is a little dated now, right? How many?
It is.
So it's, and, you know, maybe the Latin players in particular, you know, not from this country, that maybe have never seen the movie either. And so, yeah, that's one of the things I kind of want to get a feel for from these guys. And I'm curious, really. I mean, there's a kid from Iowa on this team, Matt Mullenbach, from a Waukee grad. I'm going to ask him to see if he's ever been to the Field of Dreams, right? Yeah. Maybe not. So even though it's only a couple hours away. So I still think they'll get a real appreciation for everything when they're there on Tuesday. And it'll be special, a special night, I think, for everybody until – you know, and then from there they go from Dyersville to Davenport and the grind and the realization that you're a high class A baseball player kicked right back in, you know, about midnight on Tuesday night / Wednesday morning.
They should make it required viewing for the people who haven't seen it. Maybe that'd be a a good move by the Colonel staff. Who knows? But with this event, and obviously it hasn't happened yet, but do we know, Jeff, I don't know if you've heard anything, is this just a one-off type of thing with the minor league game specifically, or do we know if this is going to continue on or be a regular thing, or is that still up for decision?
I think it's kind of up for you know, decision at this point, Spencer. I don't, you know, how many teams are there left in affiliated ball? Iowa Cubs, right? That's the only other Iowa team, right? Since they got rid of Clinton and Burlington. So, you know, whether they'll open this thing up to, you know, maybe have like a Northwoods League game there or Frontier League, I don't know. I guess we'll have to ask Frank Thomas, right? Because he owns that Tucker now. But You know, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last major league game too. Just from things I've been hearing that they, you know, kind of want to maybe go on to the next big, you know, major league event. You know, they went from Little League World Series to the Field of Dreams. Now, you know, what's the next big one? I've heard, what is it? Evansville, where, the League of Their Own, movie and, you know, things like that could be a possibility. So, I think everything's up for discussion. It has been certainly a success, no question about that, and great interest from the public. We'll have to see if there's as much interest, you know, on the major league side Thursday with two pretty bad teams. But, I think Major League Baseball has hit certainly a home run with everything they've done so far with these Field of Dreams games.
Jeff, our page and yours is going to be turned very quickly here to high school football. And it was announced that City High and Liberty are going to play their opener at Kinnick Stadium. First game there since the 70s at least, maybe the 80s. That's still to be determined. Some folks believe there was a game played there in the late 70s or 80s. But nevertheless, it's been a long time. Your thoughts on that game being played at Kinnick?
Yeah, I think it's great, and I think that it's nice that Iowa was, you know, able to open up and give City High and Liberty an opportunity, right? I mean, it's I'm sure that I know that's where it all starts. You know, you gotta allow schools to use your facility, and you know, we know how things are down there with football, but it's a great opportunity, you know, for all the kids involved. And you know, folks, if they want to go to the game, we'll be able to see Ben Keeter play, where hopefully he'll, you know, he'll make a lot of tackles in his college career. You know, the City High All-State linebacker. So I think it's a great thing. It really is. It's great for the kids, and that's really the most important thing to me, is that these kids will have the opportunity to play on a big time field. You know, big time stadium like Kinnick Stadium, and be interesting to see what we get for a crowd of, you know, 5,000-6,000 maybe, boys, more. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll find out
easily.
Yeah, you know, maybe upwards of 8 to 10. You know, who knows? I think that'd be great. That'd be great for the kids, but it's certainly something for that community down there that will be a huge, huge deal for everyone.
Very good, Jeff. Thanks as always for the time. We appreciate it. We'll read your work in the Gazette.
Boys, have a good weekend. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Jeff Johnson from the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining us, covering a number of different topics, mostly Colonels talk, but covering a little high school football too. And I'm sure you and Scott Mark will be talking all the high school football coming up as the season gets closer. I saw one of my friends is getting into coaching for the first time in Wisconsin, and their season opener is a week from next Friday. So it's coming fast, just up the road in the Badger State. I think Iowa's the week after. So it's going to be here before we know it. That is for sure.
Great time of year. And I know a lot of, players and, schools and coaches and right on down the line are very much looking forward to it. It sets the tone for your school year. And, it's a great season. It really is.
Absolutely. Coming up on 3:53, let's do this. As we head to break, we'll give you a chance to win that pair of tickets to check out the George Halas exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. We'll take home our final pair of tickets to check that out here in Cedar Rapids at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. Caller number 6, give Ben a call. He'll hook you up with those passes right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 3:53, back after the break.
Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton presents One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen in the Works. It's One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen in the Works, Saturday, August 6th at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton. Tickets tickets are on sale at the Iowa Store or WildRoseResorts.com.
We need to hire for another position. No problem. It's not like I'm already trying to juggle 5 job sites, screen candidates, schedule interviews, and, you know, do my job.
You've had it, and we get it. Job Funnel simplifies your search. Fill out info once, and we post it to all the big job sites. Job Funnel makes it easy to prioritize applicants, keep track of things, even send bulk email responses, all from one streamlined hub. Go to KZIA.com and click on Job Funnel to get started. Breathe. Job Funnel's on it.
Final few minutes here of the gym class for a Friday afternoon on the airwaves with you here at KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up in a matter of moments from 4 until 6. They've got David W. Cobb from CBS Sports joining them just after 5 o'clock tonight. The Marlins have taken a 1-0 lead. That is in the top half of the 7th inning as they lead the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field. That's the only baseball game in action this afternoon as we sit here and discuss latest happenings in the sports world. But Mark, we mentioned full slate of games tonight, the Brewers and the Reds, your Twins taking on the Toronto Blue Jays, the White Sox and the Texas Rangers tonight. Should be an interesting one down in St. Louis. The Cardinals hosting the Yankees for a weekend series, a couple of I guess now division-leading teams after the Brewers have lost 3 in a row. The Cardinals have won 3 in a row, so now they're tied atop the division again in the National League Central. So we're going to have some interesting baseball watching this weekend.
Walls closing in on our teams, right, Spencer?
They indeed are. I would be more bullish on the Twins than I would on the Brewers at this point, but it's been a very negative week in my fandom. So I'm just gonna.
Another interesting game tonight, I think, is in Baltimore. Cedar Rapids Xavier product Mitch Keller on the mound against the Baltimore team that is in the thick of the wild card chase.
Yeah, and a Baltimore team that was taking some heat for trading away two key pieces, Jorge Lopez going to the Twins and Trey Mancini going to Houston in the middle of a race to make the wild card in the expanded playoffs. They were like 3 games out as of the trade deadline. Not a lot of fans happy with those moves, but still continuing to win games despite the trades. And should be an interesting one to see, especially with the postseason races with the expanded postseason, which teams are gonna make it in here towards the home stretch. Congratulations, by the way, Mark, to Marcy from Cedar Rapids, taking home that final pair of tickets to the George Halas exhibit at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library.
Excellent. Go have lunch at a local establishment down there in Czech Village, Marcy.
There you go. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, and congratulations to all the winners this week for those tickets, and enjoy that. I have to get out and see that exhibit before it closes up its run here in Cedar Rapids. I have not had a chance to, but still some summertime left to get that done. I'll highlight that on my calendar for the rest of the summer. Mark, have an excellent weekend. Good to work with you again, and I'm sure we'll work again down the road.
Likewise, Spencer. Have a great weekend.
Mark Dukes joining me here on KGYM. Appreciate it as always from him. Appreciate you listening here on KGYM. Scott is back on Monday with the gym class. Spencer on sports back Monday at 2 as well. And up next for you this afternoon, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
When you bundle your renters and auto insurance with